She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. How many of you know we need wisdom? We need wisdom in this hour. And we need the faithful instruction to be upon our tongue. And we need it. The next generation needs it. How many of you know that? We need it. We need it. And we are somebody's next generation. Somebody poured into you. Somebody poured into me. Somebody poured into us and challenged us. And you know what? If we really love kids, we will challenge them. If we really love them, we will get in their face. We will say, "What are you doing? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your talents? What are you doing?" And we need sometimes somebody to get in our face and say that. What are you doing? What are you looking at on your phone? What are you watching on TV? What are you looking at on your computer? And you know what? We need people to be that to us, and we need to be that to those around about us. Because God is looking for somebody that will raise up a standard. Because our kids will live up or live down to whatever standard that we give them. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to raise up, you know, perfectionists, but we want to raise up those who know and see that they are called out ones, that God has a special gift and potential inside of them, and to call it out. Call it out. Are you with me this morning? Call it out. Hallelujah. And this woman who was speaking to the king, she knew that he had a great purpose, that God had a plan for him. And I want to tell you that God has a great plan for you. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your nationality. What matters is, are you going to say yes to the plan? Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say yes to God's plan for your life? You see, the heart of a parent says, "I see potential in you, and I want you to rise up and meet the potential that is inside of you." And many of us, we have a hard time believing in ourselves, don't we? I want to tell you, God believes in you. God believes in the potential in your life. And I know that there's many a parent here, many a mother, many a father, that you have spoken potential over your child. And I want to tell you, God is speaking it over you. He is releasing it over you. Turn to somebody right now and say, "Hey, God sees your potential. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. And he's calling you higher. He's calling you farther. He's calling you up. Are you ready to go there?" So this is King Lemuel's mother's words. It says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink," and this is the New Living Translation, "they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine is for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more." Then she says to him, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice." Do you know what God is really for? He is really for you living and acting and believing and talking in an authentic way, which is for truth and justice. And what his mother said was, don't be worried about drinking and alcohol. In other words, meeting the needs of your own flesh. Are you hearing me? And Pastor Anne Marie did a wonderful message a few weeks ago, and she was talking about discipline and appetites. How many of you know our appetites will take us off track? Our appetites will lead us to feeding the wrong thing. Are you with me? And what about kids? When we're raising up kids, what is God having us do? He's having them teach them. He's having us instruct them. He's having us discipline them. Because when they're kids, what do they want to give in to? Their appetites. Is anybody with me in here? It's getting awfully quiet. They want to have candy for breakfast. They want to have candy for lunch. They want to have candy for dinner. But we have to teach them, no, you can't have candy for breakfast, although that cereal kind of is like candy. I feel guilty even buying it, you know what I mean? But we have to teach them, instruct them. Our appetites will take us off track. Our appetites are that we will cause us to fall and fail. And what we need to begin to do is we have to put ourselves even under the instruction of the Lord. Are you hearing me? But what she was doing was she was speaking wisdom into his heart and life. Why? Because she knew he was called to be king. And God has a call upon your life. He has a call upon your life to rule and to reign. He has a call upon your life for leadership. He has a call upon your life. And he knows that you will not step into your potential if all that consumes you is your appetite for carnal things, fleshly things. And so when we begin to hear the instruction of the Lord, he wants us to have an appetite for justice. He wants us to have an appetite for truth. And really, there is no other appetite except having an appetite for him that will help us have the right kind of appetite for these other things. Truth, justice, righteousness. Because we have to be taught. We have to be instructed. I want you to turn to Isaiah 58. This is where the Lord led me this morning. Aren't you glad that God loves us enough? He loves us enough to speak truth to us. He loves us enough to say, hey, you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around. You need to go this way. And that's what a mama does. That's what a dad does. They speak truth. They speak life. And if we don't do that, we need to be that kind of parent. We need to be the kind of parent who says no. The kind of parent who says, get up. It's time to go to church. Right? We have to teach and instruct. But we have to teach the why behind the what. Now, you can teach a child and you teach you need to do this, you need to do that. But if we never teach them the why, then maybe they will do this and that, but they will not have the right heart behind it. And what God is wanting is our hearts behind the action. We do need to teach our kids to go to church. We need to teach our kids to understand the value of the fellowship of being with believers, to be taught and instructed by the Lord, to gather together. When I was growing up, I knew I needed to be in the house of the Lord. But she didn't stop there, my mother. And she lived a life that made me want to be in the house of the Lord. Because if we just teach our kids, you got to come to church for 2 hours, but then we live like hell every day, they get the wrong message. They get the message, yeah, you got to go to church and make, you know, our family look good, but when we go home, we do whatever we want. We live whatever way we want. We watch whatever we want on the TV. We talk this way. We talk that way. We argue. Our home is full of strife. What is that? That's a lack of truth and justice in the home. Because we can't teach something and live something else. The greatest example we can ever be is our life. I remember there was a young person in our home spending quite a bit of time with us, and he said to me, "Oh, I didn't know it was 24/7. And I thought, oh, we must be talking about, you know, the presence of God and pursuing the presence of God and prayer. You know what he was talking about? That he saw 24/7 in us? I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he said, "Forgiveness." He said, "You're always asking each other to forgive each other." And I thought, you know what? I didn't know what I was teaching with my life. I was teaching with my life that I'm sorry and having a walk of forgiveness, which, by the way, you really need if you're married, is a daily thing. And he said, "I didn't know it was 24/7. We have to be an authentic people, that when we're teaching something, we're living it. You are the greatest book that anybody will ever see. You can't say pray and don't pray. You can't say read the Bible and you don't read the Bible. You can't say don't curse and then you curse. You can't say don't watch filth and then you watch it. We have to be authentic Christians living a life that is glorifying to the Lord. And if we are not, then we have to do the course correction and put ourselves in that place where we say, "Father, come and change me. Make me be one that is glorifying to you no matter what I do, no matter where I am." Because let me tell you this, your life speaks. Let me say that again. Your life speaks. What is it saying? Your life speaks. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your energy? What are you thinking about? What you think about is really important. Really important. I remember there was a time and a season in my life where the Lord, he spanked me. Aren't you glad the Lord spanks us? That means he loves us. The Lord says he disciplines those he loves. If a parent never disciplines, that means they're not really showing love. And he spanked me and he corrected me about what I was thinking about, because my thoughts were consumed with things that were honestly not very important. They were worthless. I didn't see it at the time. I thought that they were important. But he showed me, as I was thinking about these things, I was preoccupied, that I was using it as a way to just make myself feel better. When I would get stressed and worried, and I would start to, you know, think about shopping, think about going here and getting this and buying that. And I began to fixate on it, and it was going over and over in my mind. Not because this thing was so important, but I was preoccupying myself with an activity that made me feel better, that I was running to. It was an appetite. And in the midst of that situation, I didn't realize I had grown far from the Lord. I was still going through the motions, but there was something in my heart that was lacking the passion that I needed to have. And as the Lord began to convict me, and he began to speak to me, and he began to say to me, "You're looking for relief in other places apart from me, and you have grown cold." And you know what? He convicted me, and I said, "Oh my goodness, I was backslidden, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it. And when he began to show me there's such a place of fire that he had for me, and love and compassion and his presence, that I could experience a peace that went way beyond shopping. And you fill in the blank, way beyond. Because when we go meeting our appetites looking for relief, we're missing the very best thing. The very best thing. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. What are we thinking about? What are we doing with our actions? What are we doing with our words? You see, we can really tell a lot about our heart when we look at our time, our energy, our thoughts, our actions, and our words. What are we pursuing? So see, God, he's looking for something authentic, something real. And by the way, so are your kids. So are your kids. They want to see something real. They don't want to say, oh, come to church. You have to go to church. But then when you go home, you're living a different story. They want to see something real. Who are you really? In Isaiah 58, this is the Lord talking. He says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. That sounds pretty important, doesn't it? And again, this is the New Living Translation. Shout aloud, don't be timid. Tell my people, Israel, of their sins. Sometimes we got to do that with our kids. This is the Lord doing that with his kids. Yet they act so pious, religious. They come to the temple every day. They seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of his God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you. Why aren't you impressed? This is what the people are saying back to the Lord. We've been very hard on ourselves. Don't you even notice it? I will tell you why I respond, and this is the Lord. It's because you are fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting that never gets you anywhere with me. Humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance. You know what? God is looking for something real. When we humble ourselves, there's a turning. There's a turning. I'm going to verse 6. It says, no, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal, and your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. And then I will answer you. I will answer your call. Here I am, he will quickly reply. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying, be real. Be real. Don't go fasting and putting on burlap and ashes when your actions don't match that, when your heart doesn't match it. Let's be real. What am I looking for? I'm looking for you to be real. Say, be real. God is looking at our appetites. Do we have an appetite for him? Or are we doing those things in our private life that show that we are not really consumed with him? Consume says to eat, drink, or ingest. Eat, eat up, devour, ingest, swallow, gobble, gobble up. We're getting ready to do that for Mother's Day, aren't we? Here's some other words: gorge, feast, munch. This is consume. But we know in the word The Lord says that he is going to be a consuming fire. What does that definition of consume mean? It means to destroy, demolish, lay waste, wipe out. What does he want to do? He wants to have all those things that are not of him be consumed, that we might be consumed with him. I'm telling you, he convicted me. I didn't know how far I had gone. And when he was speaking to my heart, he was calling me back to being consumed with him, that he would be my appetite, and that those other things that were drawing me away from him would be consumed, destroyed, devastated. I want to tell you that God is a consuming fire, but he wants us to be consumed with him. When we teach our kids, and what are we teaching them? How are we teaching them with our thoughts, our words, our actions, and even what we do with our appetites? What we do with what is consuming us? Because see, there is a greater place of consecration that he is calling us to. And you know what I began to do in my own life? I began to cry out to him because I realized I could not do it myself. I couldn't do it myself. I'm like, Lord, I want to be consumed with you in a new way. And as I begin to cry out for that, and as I begin to call for him to do a work and a change in my heart, to circumcise my heart, he began to do a work in me that I couldn't do in myself. He began to change my appetites. He began to set me free. But it did call for an active choice, where I realized that I had been giving into the wrong thing as self-medicating, and that what I was doing was having another God. And I didn't even realize it. And then this is what the Lord was so frustrated with. If you turn back a chapter, and we don't have time today, but I want you to go and read this. Isaiah 57, Isaiah 58, Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 57, he is so upset with his kids. Why? He's like, you're idolatrous. In other words, spiritual adultery. Are you guys with me this morning? This is a real nice Mother's Day message, isn't it? This is what he said to him. You worship your idols with great passion beneath the oaks and under every green tree. You sacrifice your children down in the valleys. Your gods are the smooth stones. You worship them with liquid offerings and grain offerings. They, not I, are your inheritance. They were turning away with their hearts. He was so frustrated. And so that's Isaiah 57. That's what preceded him crying out to them and said, I'm looking for a true fast. We don't realize sometimes when we are sharing our hearts in an adulterous, idolatrous way. And it is wrong, and it is sin, and it is compromise. And our kids see that. They see that. But don't you know God is always calling us to a place of repentance? He's always calling us to a true place. He says, there's a true fast that I want. And that's a true fast is when you do what you say and you live in a way that is righteous. And he called them back. And if you look in Isaiah 59, he's warning them against sin again. And then this is what he says. God is so faithful. He says this, and this is my covenant with them. With who? The same ones that two chapters back he was calling idolatrous. Because he's always calling us back. Aren't you glad that he always calls us back? Because we get off track. I've been off track multiple times, but God calls us back. That's what the good heart of a parent does. That's what the good heart of a mom does. That's what the good heart of a dad does. And the Lord is calling us back on track. And this is my covenant with them. This is Isaiah 59, 21. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. And they will be on your lips and on the lips of your children. Hallelujah. And your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. In other words, let's get back on track, not just for us, but for the generations following us. Because he has a covenant with us. That we would live righteously and we would have sons and daughters. And what did it say about our sons and daughters? That they would prophesy. So we have to be those that live, that challenge, that correct, that speak truth, but speak truth with our lives in such a greater way that our life is aligned with our words. Not just Sunday for 2 hours, but every day. That kid that was looking at us, he was saying, I didn't know it was 24/7. I thought, oh, we must be really good with our prayer lives. Oh, yeah, 24/7. No, with forgiveness, with living it out. How are you living your life? Because I'll tell you what, when we begin to repent, and we begin to say, Lord, here I am. I didn't realize. Lord, come and consume me. Consume my thoughts. Consume my heart. Consume my actions. Let every part of me be authentically yours. When we begin to cry that out, Isaiah 60 happens. And you know what Isaiah 60 says? Oh, hallelujah. It says, arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. See, that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants the glory of the Lord to shine upon you. And in Acts, it says that repent so that times of what? Refreshing can come. I'm so glad that he called me out. I'm so glad he called me out and he said, hey, you're not where you need to be with your time, your energy, your affection, your appetites. Come on. And you know what? I began in that season of my life, and I still repenting because we still kind of get off track a little bit here and there, and God is always doing course correction. But he wants to use our voice to actually be repentance for our nation. But in that season of time, it was a season of real repenting, repenting. Repenting so that such amazing refreshing could come in my life. And I'm telling you what, he refreshed me. And he came in a way that was like a consuming fire. Is there something that you know that God wants to consume in your life, destroy, evict, get rid of, so that you could be consumed with him? I'm telling you, we need to be those that know that God has a call upon our life, and he has a generational call upon those that he's put with us and those that he's brought around us. If we're going to be real mothers and fathers, then we have to allow the heart of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, to discipline us and also cause us to be those that would live authentically and speak words of love and challenge and see the destiny into the next generation. We bless them, we love them, and then we say, what's going on? What are you looking at on your phone? What kind of friends do you have? We need to be involved in the lives of those that God has given us. Amen. Are you ready to take your place this morning? Not your typical Mother's Day message, but this is what I had on my heart. I'm telling you, he wants to come in such a way that I'm telling you, we would see his spirit poured out on all flesh. Let's stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you that you're pouring out your spirit upon all flesh. And Lord, you said that as you pour out your spirit upon all flesh, Lord, that our sons and our daughters would prophesy. And Father, we're calling forth even that move of your spirit across us and across our hearts and in our lives. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sondoroboko shikiarabakai. Just quiet your heart before the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just put your hand on your heart. There's something that the Lord is speaking to you about today. Just know that He has a heart. He has a heart to see you fully restored in every way, and also to fully step into your destiny in every single way. I just hear the Lord saying, "You're too good. You're too good for that. You're too good for that." And that He's calling you away from everything that would distract. And He's saying, "You're too good for that. Because I have my destiny call upon you. And my hand is upon you. It's upon your head. It's upon your heart. It's upon your life. And I'm calling you away from everything that would distract. Because you're too good for that." If you know there's something in your heart right now or something that you've been distracted with, just lift that up to the Lord. Just lift it up to Him right now. Just say, "Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for being distracted. I want to be about my Father's business. But more than that, I want to be about my Father. I want to be heart to heart. I want to be authentic. I want to be true. Oh Lord, I want to be in love with you, Jesus." God, consume us. Let us be consumed in every way, in every part of our heart, in every part of our life.